Welcome to From the Classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. I'm Dr. J.P. Mosley, Academic Dean, Registrar, and Professor of Biblical Studies and Systematic Theology at Heidelberg Theological Seminary. And with me is President of Heidelberg Theological Seminary, Dr. Maynard Koerner, also professor of many things, but one of his focuses tends to be the ministerial studies, training men in the ministry, which is what we do here at the seminary. And so I want to welcome you again to From the Classroom. And in this particular broadcast, what we're going to be looking at is specifically From the Classroom in the Philippines. Philippines. And before we get to there, I think there is tons of scripture passages that get to the heart of seminary education. The writing of books are many.
Sure.
Ecclesiastes. But I think one in particular that I always try to focus on with new students is what are we doing in the seminary? What is the training at the end of the day? We could say, well, it's to be pastors. Yeah. But let's be honest, some guys that go to seminary may not end up being pastors. So what is it that we're doing? We may have men in there, like I've had in two of my classes, an elder just auditing. He's still getting trained, but it's not to be a minister, pastor, teacher, like that. It's to be an elder, to be a better elder. That's his goal. And I still think even for him, this passage gets to it. And it's 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's that last bit that from day one of Hebrew or Greek to the last day of focusing on things like contemporary issues and pastoral theology, what we're hoping to accomplish with our students is to help them learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. And for that matter, when they get into pastoral ministry, helping them to learn from that pulpit how to teach their people to rightly divide the word of truth as well. And I think that's the goal. And so as we take that goal from Sioux Falls then to the Philippines, we're now in a different country. We're helping a completely different culture. I think about this passage. This is Paul writing to Timothy, who's probably in Ephesus, a whole different culture closer to the guys in the Philippines than it is to us here in Sioux Falls. But in essence, I do believe that's our task, is to help these guys rightly divide it. And then if I can say a second thing, one of the things that attracted me to Heidelberg and the opportunity to work here full time was, ironically, the pandemic. It was COVID. Of course, the conversations and stuff had already started before that. Mm-hmm. But I had seen something in Heidelberg that I wasn't seeing in any other seminary. Most seminaries either have, that are brick and mortar, either have you have to be here on campus, and other seminaries that aren't brick and mortar say it doesn't matter. We'll just send you the material. I think RTS was one of the first ones to sit back and say things like, well, we'd like you here on the campus and then any of our satellite campuses, but we also have this digital option, where you had iTunes or anything like that, you could listen to canned lectures and then fill out the material there. That's fine. New Geneva, I taught there for a little while. They had a similar role model. Heidelberg was leaps beyond any seminaries that I had seen to where they were using technology like Zoom for a digital classroom experience. And as I'm looking at that, I'm going, ooh. And then the pandemic hits, Heidelberg didn't need to change a thing. And that's significant.
Yeah, we were ready to go. I joked about that. Everybody was having this sort of new discovery of Zoom and how do we do Zoom? And I said, hey, we've been doing Zoom all along. We know all about Zoom, although we did learn some new things as Zoom continues to develop. But if I can back up a little bit, pick up on your conversation there. As Heidelberg Seminary, and we're still a pretty young seminary, and as we were trying to get off the ground, we were from day one exploring the idea of, for a couple of reasons, probably the most important one is that there are men who are seeking second careers. and they have families, and we didn't want to eliminate those kinds of people from being able to go to seminary. And so what can we do in terms of distance learning? Distance learning is a term that can mean a lot of things. And initially, we were looking at some things in terms of just simply sending a student recorded videos of our classes and so on. And long story short, all of that developed into not just having students who are kind of on a completely different approach to studying and taking different courses. It's my understanding even that some of the seminaries who were already dealing with distance learning, or if you were a distance student, you got a course that was taught uniquely for that purpose. It wasn't the same course taught in the classroom for the students that were there. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to, and we discovered, we used another program at first, and then we discovered Zoom as even better and less expensive. And so basically, it allowed us to be able to have a regular classroom setting, students in the classroom, but then at the same time, someone who is living not in Sioux Falls, whatever distance across the country, or even from a foreign area, that could virtually be in the classroom like every other student in the classroom through the media of the program with Zoom and how we set that up in the classroom. And so, yes, we were way ahead in terms of obviously when the classroom is done and the Zoom is turned off, and the faculty and the students in the classroom walk down the hallway, they're able to have a conversation with each other that those students that were dialed in could not have. And that is still missing. And so we still want the student to be here as much as possible. But it did allow for us to be able to have students who received the course itself was received in the same way that a student sitting in the classroom was.
Yeah, and to follow up with that, because I do want to get to the classroom in the Philippines.
Right.
But this is all like pre that. I mean, this is stuff that was happening before Philippines really took off, because there's been some changes even with the Philippines program that's what we're going to talk about today. But even in the classroom setting here, yes, I would much rather have the student sitting in the chair. And I could reach out and, you know, pinch his arm. I'm not going to, you know, I may
throw a piece of chalk at him.
Throw a piece of marker at him, which has happened. But the thing, I threw it at the chair next to him. But the thing is, even the guys that are dialing in from their offices at home or, their bedrooms, or I think I had one student look like he was in a closet. The way that our classroom is set up is we have two really, really nice cameras positioned by two flat screen televisions that have two laptops. And so one camera is focused in on the professor, the whiteboard, which I don't think that board's white though, but I don't know what color it is.
It's gray.
Our gray board and the lectern so that he could see if we write anything up on the board. As long as we use a darker color, right? Because lighter, I guess light doesn't work. While the other camera is positioned on the classroom. And that's another big distinction, is that both angle views, plus the microphone that we use for the Zoom recordings, for the Zoom broadcast, is one that's designed to pick up every sound in the room. While I listen just at a leisure, which I'm a different type of guy. RTS lectures for free. I can get them on my phone. I listen to them. I'm driving, you know, 5 hours one way. I listen to a course while I'm driving. And you can tell they're using different microphones for the professor. It's a lapel mic versus the microphone for the student because the sound, the audio sound changes. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, like myself, that's a little irritating. Here, you don't get that. It's the same microphone, and it's picking up every person in that room. Now, if one of these students decides to whisper, everybody up on the Zoom screen hears it.
So it's a pretty sensitive mic.
It's a very sensitive mic.
And all the ones who are dialing in from different parts of the country.
That's right.
From Denver or Los Angeles or
London, England, which is not our country, but still.
But they can see every student in the classroom.
That's right.
Not just the professor.
That's right.
They see the other.
Yeah, that's what that secondary camera is doing.
Right.
And then we, you know, we also then have those students put up on a screen so that our students in the classroom can see them. And so it is almost, to the best of our ability, it is like having them in the classroom.
Right. As far as exactly the same thing, the same experience.
Yes.
That's the student sitting here. He just doesn't get to walk down the hall afterwards and talk to the professor. Or the next day come in and say, can I ask you a question about something?
Which we encourage.
But the distant student can send us an email.
Give us a phone call.
And give us a phone call. And we try to maintain that.
That's right.
That's relationship as well. So it's really pretty effective.
Yeah. See, one of the arguments I have against distance learning, and I think Heidelberg, toward the best of our ability, has overcome some of this. You still have the practica. That means you need to have your feet on the ground learning from a guy who can move, can position your hand where it needs to go. And that is, I wouldn't want my heart surgery, whoever's doing that, to have his degree on YouTube.
Right.
You know, I want a guy that, again, had somebody say, slap his hand, says, no, you put the scalpel here. That's the wrong place. And so, but when we're dealing with things, certain subjects, it may be okay to be at a distance. There's other subjects where it is probably better if you're in person.
Well, we do want our distance students to be working closer with their pastors and their churches to help alleviate some of that situation.
That's right. That's right. Now, one of the things that made for Heidelberg to be leaps and bounds arrest from, and it, to me, it's not in a competition. It's just Heidelberg by necessity went towards Zoom for student purposes. Well, when the Philippines project started, and now there's several learning centers in the Philippines, Heidelberg Theological Seminary, learning centers throughout the Philippines. It originated with you solo for a while, and then you would go with another professor. But have you done the other professor thing?
So far, we've only taken one professor.
It's only been one professor. The goal is for you to be with another professor.
Right.
But what happened was you would go during the summertime, and you would do
intensive courses,
and you would do two intensive courses over the period of, what, 2 or 3 weeks?
1 week.
1 week. Holy smokes. And then you'd come back.
It was an intensive week.
It was intensive. You'd come back tired, jet lagged, and wondering, why in the world am I doing this? And we still want to do that, but we also want to have a secondary professor going out there.
Well, particularly because of the last time that I went, just to follow up briefly, we did two courses. I did two courses in 1 week and then traveled to the other end of the Philippines and did one course, again, the same course, and another different one. So I actually taught four courses in 2 weeks' time and preached twice on Sundays in between.
Yes.
Talk about being wiped out at the end. I found my limit and beyond.
Yeah, the amount of rice you consumed was, you know. Anyway, so, which I'm a big fan of rice. The pandemic hit. And 2020, there's no traveling.
Couldn't go to the Philippines.
There's no traveling. And I remember you and I having a conversation, and I just kind of brought up, I said, well, what about not, you know, what about doing it on Zoom? And you ran with it, and that's the classroom we're talking about today.
And I will address that briefly. First of all, that behind that question, the reason we hadn't been doing courses on Zoom, that in between the traveling there during the year when the intensive course would be taught, we would, as we had earlier in distance learning, we'd send them a video copy.
They were getting canned lectures.
They were getting canned lectures. They were getting together as a group so they could discuss them and so on, but it was better than nothing. So part of that is the availability of internet service in the Philippines.
Yes.
In the past, their level of internet was fairly weak, and it did not seem very possible to maintain enough of a relationship through the internet to be able to actually have Zoom open and teaching a course. You'd be fading in and out and so on. But I noticed that in the last year leading up to this, that situation was getting better.
And so that led me to responding to the question, and how do we do with all of this? Something I had thought about already, but it got raised. And said, well, let's try teaching a course live on Zoom. And, of course, the timing framing is an issue as well.
Yep.
They are 13 hours ahead of us.
I was going to ask that. So you're currently teaching Friday nights.
Friday evenings. And so there's a commitment on the part of the professor here,
right,
to give up Friday evenings. Most people don't want to give up their Friday evenings because that's Saturday morning in the Philippines. That's when they are able to travel to come together to listen to courses. But made that commitment, and it's worked out really well. Some men are dialing in from their homes because they have the availability of internet. And internet is expensive over there. Not everybody can. I'm not sure I should say it's more expensive than what it would be for us here, but most of them can't afford that individually.
Sure. But you're having in it, the first class you taught that way, wasn't it biblical theology or was it reform worship?
The first class that I taught
via Zoom
was,
biblical theology. Because it was, you were doing the reform worship, and that's when I brought up the kind of question, well, why don't you do this way for the biblical, for that? And you did, and it was wonderful. It's hard to count sometimes, especially when you have them in that one room where you've got multiple people, and then some of them don't have their cameras on.
Right.
And so it is hard to count how many people are present, but I think it was somewhere between 45 and 60 students.
Now, I should tell you as well, or mention as well, not all of them are involved in a full
degree program
with credit. Probably about half of them are dialing in just to learn and are auditing. Some of them are, even though they use English in their school system, they're still uncomfortable writing in English. And so they have a lack of confidence that they could do that kind of work to meet the requirements. And so they dial in, and sometimes they also have other issues that come along. Internet's not working for this weekend, so they're not in. But all the courses, when we do teach them, I should mention, every lecture is then put up so that they receive it digitally within a few days and can download it and listen to it if they missed it, or anything of that nature. Also be aware that many of these students, if not more than half of them, are already pastors in the Philippines.
Right.
So they're not looking for a full degree to become a pastor. They're looking as a pastor to
become better
and particularly to become reformed, because they've been introduced to reformed theology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they want to learn in that way. So,
and one of the things we added to this, because in just a moment, I'd like you to close out by saying how people can support the work our work in the Philippines.
Right.
But before we get there, we've added another dimension to this, and we're planning to add even more, in the coming year to this program. But we've added a secondary class where we have another one of our professors who teaches in Old Testament studies, who is even a time zone difference than us. He's on mountain time, who teaches for them even later on a Saturday morning.
So now
they're having the two classes.
Right now I teach a course. The class begins 6:30 on Friday evenings. 7:30 Friday evenings. I open up the Zoom around 7, and as they are getting on, that gives them an opportunity. It's really neat to watch the first few times I did this. So here or there are men. The Philippines is a big country. It's 7,000 islands. And so these men are quarantined from each other. They can't get together. And even at that, it's hard to get together. It's expensive. And so now all of a sudden they find themselves on Zoom, seeing a picture of their colleagues in other parts of the Philippines, and they're visiting with each other. And then when class starts,
which is what time their time?
8:30 Saturday morning.
Wow.
It's 8:30 Saturday morning. And they're either dialing in as individuals or they've gotten together as a group. So they're excited to be in. In fact, what's kind of funny, especially in a couple of the places, a couple of the individuals, as soon as they dial in, I hear roosters crowing in the background. But the way I'm able to do this, because how do you teach on Zoom when you've got 45 men in the classroom? I mean, how do you even teach in a regular classroom to give everybody an opportunity to discuss and so on? So I'm when class starts, I mute so that all of their microphones are muted, and I teach. But there is this feature on Zoom called chat, and they can type out their questions, and I have a separate screen where I put that on when I'm teaching, and I watch it. So that as soon as a question comes up or a comment, I either say, I'll deal with that later, it's there, I got it, or I will answer it at that point in time. I have a discussion, and they may have a follow-up question. So that's how I'm dealing with the number of people that are on the air. I have to mute their microphones in order for me to. So basically, it's a little different than in our normal classroom where I'm basically lecturing, but I do have an interchange of thoughts and questions that are capable of being addressed.
There's a way of making a dialogue out of it.
That's right. That's a good way of putting it.
That chat option there, they feed you questions and then you are able to answer those questions.
And I have another, on another screen actually, I have a running who's all in as I bring them into the classroom.
All right, so let's close this one out by saying what are some of the ways that people can help support Heidelberg with this ongoing work in the Philippines, and we're not only do we have another professor teaching via Zoom who's been to the Philippines.
I think Reverend
Michael Wojtek is teaching prophetic books right now.
He was in the Philippines before our program started, right. So he never taught.
He's familiar with the culture, but we're also getting some other guys to be teaching like the same concept, but we're also having the goal, we're praying about it and seeking the funds for opening up the same model in other countries. But for right now, what is the way that people can get behind Heidelberg in supporting this work in the Philippines?
What this allows for, and it's kind of an interesting concept and something that we've been thinking about, at least I've been thinking about very carefully to maintain it as difference between a seminary and a church. Seminary, as you were talking earlier, is about training men, rightly divide the word of truth and applying that and so on. But, and the purpose of training men is to feed the sheep and to do evangelism, but a seminary does not do missions, church does missions. Yet there is a direct relationship in the Philippines as these men. In fact, most of our students are already either pastors, or if they've not been pastors, they're working towards that to become pastors within the church there, the Pearl-Leorian Covenant Reformed Church. They are already working with pastors and consistories to establish churches. They're doing church work and in some kind of an internship relationship. So for somebody who's not all that interested necessarily in supporting Heidelberg Seminary with respect to its work in its particular context, but is excited about seeing the potential for growth and missions in the Philippines, this is a way that your money can be used unto that end. So support the work that we're doing in the Philippines. We do keep track of it. Basically, with the amount of students that we have, we are carrying out this program, and that includes paying for their internet, paying for their travel, paying for their food expense, providing their textbooks. We provide it all, and we're doing this at about a rate of about $2,000 per student per year. That's an extremely inexpensive education in the world of education. So if anybody out there is interested, they can get online, heidelbergseminary.org. There is a tab to pull down for support the seminary. Indicate that you want your money to support the Philippines program, and we will designate it that way. And you can support, say, okay, I want to take care of one student, that's $2,000 a year, or any other level that you might be interested in.
Very good. Well, I think that wraps up today's From the Classroom, where we were looking at the classroom in the Philippines. We've gone a little longer than normal, but this is a different show here. So we want to thank you for listening, and Dr. Kerner's already expressed where you can go to help support the work here at Heidelberg Theological Seminary.
Just in closing, let me just add to that one of the things that's been amazing. This is something the Lord has put before us that we were not looking for. But when the Lord puts blessings before you, sometimes that means you have to find a way to actually follow up on those blessings. So we need professors. We need support in order to be able to do this work.
That's right. And thank you, listeners, for following from the classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary.